I have this giant, massive, elitist, pompous, smug, toolish. These are all the words people have used to describe me, if you can't tell.
It's like you read my mind, man.
JoeCustoms.com is the home of the world's premier G.I. Joe customizing website. Its purpose, to learn, improve, share, entertain, and showcase the work of the customizing community, wherever and whenever possible, to whomever shows interest. We'll help the community. Wherever there's customizing, Joe Customs is there.
Joe Customs!
Welcome to JoeCustoms.com's Custom Celebration 9.
Yeah!
Hi, this is John, a.k.a. P-Love.
Hi, John.
This is John.
This is Brad, TR101AO.
This is Dan, the Spectre.
This is Dennis, Dr. Bindi.
Hi, Jeff, Joe Michael 70.
Hi, Jeff.
To Joe Customs Podcast number
20, I think.
Three.
21.
Is it 21? Yeah.
Who, I think so.
Who's counting?
Who's that sexy guy that's coming on with us tonight?
It's the guy from ER.
No way.
It's Goose. No.
Oh, God, I love that guy.
It's Mr. General Joe's himself, Justin Bell.
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Good.
How about yourself? I'm doing good. It's funny. I have this weird ER connection. Like when I was there was a time when I was a little bit larger, and when I was larger, people swore I looked like Abraham Ben Ruby. And then who was that dude on ER who watched the desk? The big guy with the goatee or whatever, and then I lost a bunch of weight, and now everybody thinks I look like the other guy. So no matter what I do, I guess I'm tied to ER somehow.
Hey, Justin?
Yeah?
Can I call you Justin?
Yes, you may.
Can I call you Honey?
Sure. I'm up for anything.
Don't
is that what kind of call this is?
Wait a second. It is now. So you're actually Gilbert, then?
I'm Gilbert. I can be Gilbert if you want me to be Gilbert.
You realize that the guy you're talking about on ER is Gilbert from Revenge of the Nerds, right?
Really? I don't know if I made that connection.
I mean, Lewis is the other guy, right? Lewis is the guy from Ghostbusters, and Gilbert is...
That's, you know, I know him. Yeah, no, you're from, right.
No, there's nobody from Ghostbusters. What are you talking about?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
The Keymaster.
No, that's one of the McKenzie brothers.
Oh, my... yes? Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I need one. I'm thinking of the dude from The Long Riders. One of the, come on, help me out. The guy who hung himself while popping off.
No.
You have to narrow that down a little bit, John.
My name is Dennis. I'm Dr. Bindi.
Speaking of people who hung themselves while they were
from NXS, right?
Hey.
I was trying to throw a softball out there to get a reset and start over from that whole uncomfortable little segment.
Look, Justin's here because he's taking time off of his What's on Joe Mind co-hosting, YoJo staff membering, news reporting, Dio storytelling, product reviewing, Kindle Worlds authoring, Hasbro apologizing, diorama building, Club Magazine contributing, and occasional customizing. Give him a break.
I feel like you read that off a list, but after you read that off a list, I felt very small.
I feel a little overwhelmed myself. I need to go, like, take a 2-week vacation or something.
Welcome to the Joe Cousins Podcast.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I'm sorry. I'm stumbling a little bit. My mind is blown over this Gilbert from Revenge of the Nerds thing. I never made that connection until Jeff just mentioned it. That is, my life is forever changed.
He has that effect on people.
Yes. I should know by now.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, people tell me I look like Kevin Smith's slimmer brother.
Tell me I look like General Hawk.
And that is the ultimate compliment.
Hey, General Hawk, remember that time you came to Minneapolis for the JoeCon and I called you out in line and said, "Hey, Beav."
I do remember that, actually. And I've been called worse, so it's okay.
That's the first time we met.
Yeah. No, last time I ever spoke to you. Until this minute right here.
So one of the reasons we have you on is something that you're going to be revealing on General Joe's, but during the custom celebration. Do you want to let the listeners know what you've been working on, what you've been putting into it?
Sure. Yeah. I don't know if people know or not, but I used to, way back in the day, I used to customize a lot. I haven't done it lately, but when I actually first got online in 98, 99, the first website I ever built from good old angelfire.com was an actual customizing website where I did my customs, and I actually had to go over to a neighbor's apartment and borrow their scanner and scan my action figures on their scanner so I could put them up on my website. And that's kind of how I started my online G.I. Joe habit, was through customizing. And, you know, over the years I've done it a little bit here and there, but not much. But for some reason I think it was this summer, I had this desire to work on customs. I don't really know why. I don't know if it was partially inspired by all those big projects that Oreo Builder and Bucky and those guys were doing, but it was just there's a lot of push towards customizing, and not just customizing, but whole customizing themes, you know, not just a figure here or there, but, you know, a whole theme, which, you know, ironically was kind of started by Joe Customs way back in the day when you did your custom projects, your group projects. And so this summer I just kind of started doing some customs and building them all around a theme. And I picked kind of I was inspired by a particular part. It was a torso for the Pseudo Cobra Beachhead, which I always thought was a really cool, interesting kind of technical looking torso that was always covered up by his big bulky vest, so you didn't really enjoy it as its own. So I thought it was a really neat piece to kind of build a theme around, and everybody I think knows what a fan of Sigma 6 I am, so I kind of took that single part and used it to kind of build a Sigma 6 team. And interestingly, kind of as I went on, some of the figures actually ended up not even using that part, but I just kind of couldn't stop myself. So yeah, I put out, I think I maybe six different Sigma 6 customs. I just did the kind of a bunch of the good guy team. I didn't touch the Cobras. I told myself I would dive into the Cobras after I finished the Joes, but, you know, I did, you know, probably six or eight customs in about a 2 or 3 week span, and I was kind of spent, so I haven't worked on them since. But I was really, really excited to do it and basically developed this new little Sigma 6 universe, taking the figures, the 8-inch figures, and shrinking them down to 4 inches, where a lot of people would think they belonged better anyway, and just having a lot of fun with it, you know, mixing and matching some parts, going crazy, you know, with my hobby knife and super glue and stuff that I haven't really messed with a whole lot. I used to be just a strict O-ring customizer, just give me a screwdriver, you know, a spare set of O-rings and some screws, and I'll swap parts around. I didn't do a whole lot of sculpting or anything like that. I still didn't do a lot of sculpting this time, but I kind of cut pieces off of other pieces and glued them on and just kind of had a lot of fun with it. And it was really, really, really great. I kind of did it after I had wrapped up my Dio story. And for whatever reason, I was still in full-on G.I. Joe mode and needed something to expend some creative energy. And that's kind of what I did.
You sent up the preview shot, you know, and Duke with his rifle that actually kind of breaks down just like the figure did. I thought that was brilliant.
Thanks.
And then
yeah, that was pretty cool. I don't know what I have these weird times when something just comes to my mind. Like, I've been wanting to do Sigma 6 customs for a very long time, and I just hadn't really thought of how to do it yet. And within that 2 week span, 3 week span, ideas just kept on flying at me. And, you know, I owe a lot of it to Billy Carr, was Kill Carr over on Joe Customs. You know, I was IMing him on Facebook and kind of showing him some preview shots, saying, what do you think of this? What do you think of this? And talking to a bunch of the other Joe Customs guys on Facebook too, and just kind of, you know, getting some feedback, picking up some early pictures, and really helped me kind of figure out exactly how I wanted to do this. And I changed a lot of things. I added some things. I used the Sigma 6 designs, I would say, as an inspiration, but I wasn't religious with how that theme worked. I kind of built around it a little bit and made it a little different.
Which one are you the most proud of? Like, was there one that you really like that became your favorite after you were done?
Yeah, I think it's Lieutenant Stone, because I had made a Lieutenant Stone custom a while ago, just using a Rise of Cobra reactive armor body and a Retaliation Zartan arm and kind of a thickly applied eye patch that didn't look great, but it worked for what I wanted to do. And I was going to keep him as part of this new Sigma 6 team. But once I got the rest of them built, I was like, he doesn't really fit. I kind of want to go back to the drawing board a little bit. So I did, and I ended up, you know, I did some, like, crazy stuff with his cybernetic arm. I took the top half from one figure and the bottom half from from actually the G.I. Joe Retaliation Firefly, who's got that translucent green, you know, arms, so when you plug him into his little recon sled, his arms glow. So I kind of took some acetone and wiped the paint covering that translucent green arm, so that kind of shone through a little bit. Cut off these little rubber pieces from other pieces of armor and glued them on to kind of bulk up the arm a little bit and just made it look kind of cool, I thought. And so I think he was my favorite just because I thought he was just going to look the same as he looked, you know, when I first made him a couple of years ago, but I ended up making a whole new figure. And then beside him, I would say probably Hi-Tech's Hound robot. I look at it now and I'm not exactly sure how I chose the parts. I just kind of grabbed a handful of Data Viper parts and smushed them together, and like the two backpacks just kind of fit, you know, really perfectly together, and I just glued them all up and cut some more pieces off and glued those up, and that was about it. But it ended up looking pretty cool, I thought.
Yeah, big surprise, the robot fan. That was definitely my favorite. I would have never thought to use a Data Viper accessories the way you did and pulled off that accessory so well.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was a piece of art right there. I like that.
I appreciate it.
I'm looking at the picture again, and I had seen some previews that gave you a little bit of feedback myself on a couple different things. And what strikes me about it is it just really captures what I liked about G.I. Joe when I was a kid and I first got into it. You look at them, and even though they have their own unique individual qualities, it's clearly a team. I know Sigma 6 had that in that scale. But I'm looking at this thinking, you know, if this were made today with the modern parts and with this level of detail and the cohesiveness of the team, but still the unique whatever, I think this would actually sustain itself as a line in this format. And I never would have thought that. You know, I kind of came into the hobby after Sigma 6 had its day. But I was never really wowed by that format. But that team in this type of setup, I think, would be really successful. And I commend you for that. I mean, just a beautiful set of figures.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I want to talk about my single favorite thing. All right? That Sigma Scarlet that you made was fantastic. That was a great combo mashup of parts. I don't think that there's anyone who's going to look at that and not just be wowed and make one for themselves. But the single best part of that custom was you using the hip friction pads. I'm serious. That's freaking genius. That is so out of the box. And, you know, everybody wants 118 glasses, you know, 3 3/4 goggles, you know, nobody can do it. And here you just use these two little pieces that are always like falling in the carpet, and you glued them on the head and you painted them up, and it's just freaking genius. That's all I got to say. Out of all of them, they all look fantastic, but that is my single favorite part of all those customs.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, we'll have to say, you know, kind of going through them a little bit, the paint's kind of squirreling me out a little bit, looking at these high-res shots, and I got to work on some paint for those goggles, but thank you very much. I really appreciate those, because I was kind of struggling with that a little bit, how that's the thing about Sigma 6 is because they're 8-inch figures, they had all these little pieces that, you know, as an 8-inch figure, you can kind of tinker with and take them off and put them back on, and there were some parts that I wanted to translate to the smaller customs, but I didn't. You know, like they all had those flip-up wrist communicators. I really wanted to get those on the figures, but I just couldn't find a way to make that work consistently over all 9 different figures. There was every one of them had these little removable goggles, and I just couldn't find a way to make that all work with all these different figures. But for Scarlet, I really thought those goggles played such a big part in her design aesthetic. I had to put them in there somewhere, so...
Well, I'm completely ripping them off for a custom I'm working on this weekend.
Go for it.
I'll show it to you later.
All right.
Didn't mean that to be nearly as creepy as it was.
Yeah, you did.
I don't mind creepy.
You'd mentioned that, you know, it came after you were finished with your diorama stories. Is that just like a break, or was Darkness Falls the end? I know it tied up the whole hit and run, it tied up that whole storyline, but is that the last Dio story you're going to be doing, or do you have other ones that you're still working on?
I've always, my goal from the start had always been, especially once the movies were announced, Rise of Cobra was announced way back in 2009, and I had initially envisioned Darkness Falls as a way to kind of tie off the Real American Hero story and then try to find a way to make the movie continuity actually make sense into some kind of ongoing story, and then bring in Pursuit of Cobra. Because I love most of the Rise of Cobra figures. I love the Pursuit of Cobra figures, obviously. And I wanted to find a way to showcase those new designs, but not be attached to whatever crazy ideas Paramount had when they did the films. So my thought had always been to kind of Darkness Falls, we'll take Real American Hero, close it off, you know, push it back, and then we'll go, you know, 10 years in the future, 15 years in the future, or whatever. There's a new guy named Duke. There's, you know, a new ninja named Snake Eyes. You know, they may look a little similar. They're not really the same guys. I was going to carry forward a couple characters. Like, for whatever reason, Stalker stuck in my mind as a guy that, you know, might have left and then come back to mentor some new guys. So Stalker might still be around as kind of an older veteran, so to speak. And that had been kind of what I had initially planned to do. But then it took me so long to get Darkness Falls where I wanted it to be. There was a couple episodes that first prologue in the throne room with Cobra Commander. I shot that probably 3 years ago, and then just, you know, did nothing with it, or really couldn't find a way to do anything with it. Just I needed time to build sets and take pictures, and as I think most of you probably realize, making these dial stories is extremely time intensive, and it just took so long to get this to a place where I wanted it to be, that all these figures that were so exciting and new when I wanted to draw the line and start fresh were no longer quite so exciting and new. And not only that, but there were so many new figures that I wanted to use in the Darkness Falls dial story, I no longer could really make that clear line in the sand between Real American Hero and Pursuit of Cobra and so on and so forth. And not only that, I wanted to tell a story with those new figures really badly, and I was afraid that, you know, after Darkness Falls, I just wouldn't have the time to continue the story. So I just said, you know, to hell with it. I'll take whatever figures I want to use. And as long as I haven't already shot a scene with an older version of the same figure, I'll bring them in and I'll just kind of make it one big finale. With that being said, I do have some other stuff kind of crawling around in my brain. I honestly don't know if I'll have the time or the cash. I mean, making dial stories doesn't just take time. It takes money. I mean, for me to build that Cobra Command set, probably cost me a couple $100 with all the materials, not to mention, you know, the 20 to 30 hours worth of time spent. So it's just a matter of whether or not I have the time and the money and the energy to go through it again. I do have some other ideas. I have a whole epilogue that I'd written and I started to sketch out that I just never shot. And, you know, this whole thing with Darkness Falls too, which I don't even know if I've really told anybody, is I had four or five different sets that I had built purely for Darkness Falls. Then we moved, and as you know, I moved from one home to another, and as during one of the U-Haul trips, a stack of boxes fell over and actually crushed pretty much all of the sets that I had built for Darkness Falls. So I kind of had to start over. So I don't know if anybody noticed, like, the throne room set, for instance, that Cobra Commander was in at the beginning doesn't appear again except in wreckage after an explosion detonates it. Well, that's because only half the set was still left. The rest was destroyed, and I had to kind of make do with what I had. Beyond that, I had to completely scrap entire scenes and rewrite entire scenes based on sets that got lost and that I had to essentially rebuild. And, of course, when I rebuild them, you know, I get inspired in different ways, and the story takes a little bit of a different direction. So that kind of pushed things back as well. So long story short, I have other stories I would definitely love to tell. Whether or not I have the time, the money, and the energy to do them is another story. But I think if I do get a chance to, it's something I would really like to do. I think part of my difficulty is I find inspiration from the toys. And that was kind of what drove me to want to do this Darkness Falls transition to a new universe, is that I was loving these new toys so much they were inspiring me to tell stories with them. Well, that's difficult when there's no new toys on the shelves, or where there's no new toys being produced, or if the toys being produced are new, they're just, you know, rehashes of designs that already happened. So you're still, it's tough to find inspiration in that kind of action figure environment when there's not new ideas being spawned from Hasbro. It's tough for me to kind of take what I'm being given and being inspired by those. I had a few things I was pretty inspired by with the G.I. Joe Retaliation toy line. The Data Vipers kind of really shaped the way that final story happened in Darkness Falls. That really what kind of motivated me to do that whole command center with other computer consoles and everything. But ever since G.I. Joe Retaliation kind of faded away, I haven't found much in the toys to really be driven about. It doesn't mean they're not good, but it's just it's a different kind of inspiration to say, hey, that's a really good representation of that 30-year-old figure, but it doesn't bring me anything new to kind of wrap a story around or anything like that.
I was expecting that command center to be, you know, totally on fire by the time you were done. Just a big ball of fame, you know, pull the camera back and it's your office on fire.
that thing is still sitting behind me and I'm trying to figure out exactly what's going to happen with it. Cause, you know, I've had a guy who offered to kind of take it off my hands and give me a little money for it, but I've had a hard time meeting up with him. The thing's too big to ship and too big to store. So it's taken up about a quarter of my office and it's getting to the point where I just keep on tripping over it. And of course I'm looking over at it and I've got like every single female G.I. Joe figure known to man stacked around a little platform in there. Cause my daughters have been down here playing with it. So. I don't know how much longer it'll last, but it's still sitting
there. Castle Destro.
Yeah.
With the Dow stories, I know exactly how long it takes, and then there's editing and stuff, but you mentioned like writing and sketching up stuff, but do you actually storyboard? Do you actually figure out the kind of shots you want to take, or you just kind of play with it and figure it out as you go?
I don't storyboard. I write a script, which is basically, you know, panel one, Cobra Commander's looking at Destro. Panel two, Destro says this. I just do a script because once I set the figures up, I'm pretty bad at visualizing things in my head. I have to actually have the physical thing in front of me to really properly visualize it. I can't say, you know, camera at a 45-degree angle. There's some scenes where I really have a good idea how I want it to be framed, and I make sure I take the picture exactly how I've got it in my head. But in most cases, you know, some of these sets are sitting on my floor. So to take some of these pictures, I'm like literally lying on my left side, you know, with my right elbow up and my left arm, you know, tucked under my, my armpit.
Slow down and talk a little deeper.
Now I have to suck in my breath really deep as I hold the camera still, clutching it with my tight fingers and twisting the... Okay, that's enough of that.
I'm okay with this.
Yeah. I'm not okay that you're okay.
I'm a little frightened that you're okay.
Just for future reference, don't ever do a cassette version of any of your Kindle books. They'll be bought for the wrong reasons.
I can't properly storyboard until I'm actually there taking the pictures and kind of see how it flows. So I write the script. That's about as far as the preparation goes.
I remember that, like, one of the first Joe Customs Awards, we try to do like a diorama presentation, and like, even though I did do some storyboarding, even though I had a script, as I was editing, I realized I didn't have enough like back and forth for an actual conversation. So it's like, recycle those pictures. Let's do a close up crop of that. Cause this is going much, much longer than I thought it would.
Yeah. It's funny. Actually, I take, you know, if I have a Dio story chapter that has 100 pictures in it, I probably took 700 to get those 100. And it's multifaceted. I do it because, you know, I can't always tell with that viewfinder what's in focus and what's not. So I'll take like 10 or 12 pictures and just so I can find one that's in focus. You know, I'll zoom in, I'll zoom out, flash on, flash off, you know, autofocus in this segment, autofocus in that segment. But it's also because, as you said, you know, you find out through the actual Photoshop process that, oh, geez, I need three more frames here in order for this conversation to make sense. Well, I just go into those extra seven pictures I didn't use for that shot, and then I can kind of, you know, crop differently and make it work a little bit better.
Yeah, even for, like, six pictures for a custom submission, I'll take, like, 30 pictures. Because I guarantee you the hour and a half I spent, you know, setting them out, putting all the accessories on, the belts and all that, putting them out there, taking them out in the weather, taking the pictures. There's going to be that one that's perfect but has like a hair on it.
It's been brutal. There's been times that I have, rather than pull out, you know, 12 figures and spend another 10 minutes taking the picture, I will sit down with Photoshop and the clone tool for like 45 minutes to get rid of a speck or a hair or whatever, rather than try to simulate the same, what I considered a perfect shot. I'll edit what's there and just try to make it look okay without having to take that picture again.
All right, Justin,
Yes.
So of all your endeavors, which right now would include General Joe's, it would include your Dio's, it would include your interfacing with both Declassified and the discussion group and Hasbro, and also your books on Amazon, would we even call those fanfic? I think they're beyond fanfic at this point, aren't they?
No, they're still fanfic.
What's your favorite thing? What part of this is still your favorite?
It depends what you define as favorite. I would say I still think out of all these years, my first fanfic, The Price of Peace, is still the favorite. My favorite thing that I've ever done, because ever since I was a kid, I've wanted to write a book about my G.I. Joe adventures. I mean, I had, you know, I would sit up with my Apple IIc and I'd write, you know, 20 pages of a hit and run versus whatever story, and then that would be it. I would forget it and whatever and move on. But ever since I was a kid, number one, I wanted to write about G.I. Joe, and number two, I wanted to write, period. And, you know, being an author of some kind was something that I've always wanted to do. And during the time that I was writing The Price of Peace, I was working for the United States Postal Service, and I was working a shift from, it was like 5:30 p.m. till 2 o'clock in the morning. So what I would do is, and you know, this is the time before mobile phones or anything like that. I didn't have Evernote on my, you know, Samsung Galaxy or whatever. It was just my head and maybe grabbing a piece of paper and jotting things down. But the work was so relatively brainless, you know, sorting packages, that the story would just come into my head as I was sorting packages for 7 or 8 hours, or just start cycling through. And I would desperately be just grasping and holding on to these ideas in my brain as I was sorting these packages. And I would just drive home as fast as I could and just sit down on the computer, just vomit them all out onto paper as quickly as I could before I forgot them. And I did that for, you know, several months, and then finally had this thing, and then went back and edited it and cleaned it up and made it all nice. And it felt like it told the G.I. Joe story I wanted to tell. And I really think the main reason why I kind of shifted from written fanfic to Dio stories is, it's mostly, to be honest with you, it's mostly because the fandom seemed to appreciate Dio stories more in a way. I would be perfectly happy. You know, if you asked me to do a follow-up to Darkness Falls, I could sit down and I could type something out and I could have a written thing done probably within a couple months. I've got all those ideas sitting in my head of stories I just want to tell. But there's just, it seems to be, Dio stories are just this untapped market that people really seem to latch onto, and not so much just the purely written word. You know, they really like the Dios, they like the pictures, they like the imagery, and I do too. I think there's a uniqueness, and, you know, as along with being an author, I've always wanted to be a comic book artist or comic book writer, and I know Dio stories barely qualifies for that kind of artistic talent, but it's still, it satisfies a need that I've had throughout most of my life. So I think that The Price of Peace is probably, that my original fanfic is probably number one. The fact that I was able to do Dio stories off and on for, you know, almost 15 years, I'm pretty proud of that. There's some of those that I'm pretty proud of as well. So I think those two are probably my favorites, just because I think they capture creatively what I love about G.I. Joe and actually allowed me to tell a story that I wanted to tell about my own way of viewing the brand.
I love it. Quick question.
I'm sorry, go ahead. I was just going to comment and say that was a good answer.
It is a good answer. Justin, quick question. We talk all the time about us having customizing ADD, where we'll get started on something and then go on to something else.
Yep.
How do you deal with that with doing actual fan fiction, with your customs, your Dio stories, everything you got going on? How do you deal with that?
It can be tough. It can really be tough. I mean, at any given time, with the Dio story, I can typically hit the Dio story and focus on it. But where I run into issues is when I'm doing reviews and I'm trying to do like a Dio story at the same time. What I'm good at is finding something I want to focus on and focusing on that. Like if I had tried this group of 9 Sigma 6 customs, if I had tried to do those over a period of, you know, several months, they probably never would have gotten done. But because I said, okay, for the next, you know, month, this is my G.I. Joe project, and just kind of focused on it, I was able to kind of get them done. And I'm pretty good at compartmentalizing my current project and saying, this is really what my priority is right now. Everything else I'll kind of do as I have time, but this is really what I need to do and need to focus on. And you know, fortunately or unfortunately, Hasbro has kind of been compliant with that because there hasn't been a whole lot of new product out there, so I haven't had to do a whole lot of reviews or anything like that. So I was able to focus on the Dial story and then focus on the customs. But I still – there are times when I have issues. I mean, I just barely posted my Arctic Bat and Lady J reviews, and I've had those figures for a long time, but I've been – working on some other stuff here and there, and it'll get to a point where I have a little basement office, and that's just basically my toy room, my computer, and everything like that, where I'll come in and I'll have, you know, my desk. I have probably about a 6-foot desk that I've got monitors on and stuff, and I'll come down here and it'll be covered with, like, you know, review stuff here, Dial Story stuff here, you know, something else over here, a Sigma 6 figure over here that I'm taking pictures of, Yo-Jo stuff here, and I go crazy because I don't know which to do first, or I do this for a couple minutes, do this for a couple minutes, do this for a couple minutes. But yeah, there's times when if it's a project I really want to, I can kind of see the finish line and say, you know, these Sigma 6 customs, this is what I want to do. I focus on those, spend a month really hammering on them, get those done, push them off to the side, and then I can kind of start on the next thing. But yeah, it can be tough. I have to kind of figure out what I can get done the quickest and get that done the quickest and then move on. But because right now I've got probably 3 or 4 different G.I. Joe projects I'm working on at the moment, and it's tough. I was focused on this one Sigma 6 project I'm working on, and I've been doing nothing but that for 2 weeks. Well, then the FSS started shipping. So then I focused on getting the first shipment of those reviewed for General Joe's first, and I did a review for the club as well. And now I can kind of, now that those are done, I can kind of shift my focus back over to the Sigma 6 project. But, you know, it can be hard. I mean, it's a good problem to have. I mean, here I am complaining about, you know, too much time to play with toys, but it can be tricky.
Cool. Very good answer.
Since we have you on here and you seem to have your finger on the pulse, so to speak, what are your predictions for the brand, the G.I. Joe brand for 2015?
My prediction is I think we'll get more of the same as 2014, which is not a whole lot. I think there'll be some kind of carrots dangled in front of us that we'll see at JoeCon. I suspect that the new brand manager, Mark Weber, will be there. They'll probably show off another one or two assortments of, you know, 50th anniversary type product. It'll be a lot of repaints. It'll probably be some concept case stuff. I wouldn't be surprised if they, you know, pull out the gung-ho if they really want to invest in a whole lot of new tooling. Kind of, you know, the same formula. They did this first batch of 50th anniversary stuff. They did a whole new figure with Destro, you know, a partially new figure with Leatherneck, and then did a kind of a lot of parts cobbling and went into the concept case to pull some of that stuff out. I wouldn't be at all surprised if they did the same stuff over on this other side, is you know, maybe a gung-ho from the concept case, maybe the Laser Viper, Zartan, some other stuff that seemed to be popular. But I don't think it's going to be a lot. I think it's just going to be, you know, a little handful of stuff that we, same thing we got in 2014, because they got the movie coming out, and I think that's probably where their priorities are going to be shifting. I mean, who knows what's going to be coming out with that. But I wouldn't expect a lot. I just think, you know, Mark Weber will come up and make a little presentation, give us a little handful of things, and then that'll probably be it for the year, and we'll be looking for the Collectors Club to fill in the holes.
All right. So I know you're in deeper than the rest of us are in deeper, and you may know or you may not quit it. I know you may know and you can't tell, or you don't know and you just are scared like the rest of us. But with Hasbro moving towards these 2.5-inch figures for their movie lines.
Yeah.
You want to talk about that for a second?
Yeah, it certainly is not a good homage. Or I don't think homage is the right word, but it's not, it doesn't set good precedent, we'll put it that way. Yeah, I mean, if they don't, if they're leaning on 2.5-inch for their blockbusters like Guardians of the Galaxy and Age of Ultron, I don't know what to expect for G.I. Joe, to be brutally honest with you. I mean, by all accounts, G.I. Joe Retaliation wasn't exactly gangbusters. You know, it went to Five Below, it went to all sorts of discount stores. The whole movie delay probably played a role in that, but I don't think the retailers really care about that particularly. So if the G.I. Joe brand doesn't, you know, isn't good enough or isn't a fast enough seller to warrant the additional cost of producing 4-inch figures, why are they going to go through that hassle? They're certainly not going to invest that much money in a fully
themed movie line to appease the handful of collectors that buy them. It's, they're looking at the lowest common denominator, and I don't have a good feel for what that means for us going forward. I mean, I hope, you know, keep my fingers crossed. There's so much tooling out. I think that's one thing that goes in our favor is that there's so much tool. There's such a large tooling library that they can do a decent line without a whole lot of new parts. I just don't know if they've got anybody there who's willing to do that. I think one thing that a lot of fans don't realize is that a lot of the toys you've gotten over the past several years, we probably wouldn't have gotten if not for particular personnel who were there driving those decisions and really making, you know, going well above and beyond the line of duty to kind of make these parts work together. And a lot of those people aren't there anymore. And so, you know, it can be difficult to kind of to think about what might be coming, about to hypothesize about what could be coming next. I'm not holding my breath for anything really exciting for G.I. Joe 3. You know, it's going to be what it's going to be, and I'm not sure there's going to be a whole lot to excite 4-inch collectors. I mean, the fortunate thing is the Collectors Club is in there filling those holes. I know a lot of people have mixed feelings about that with the price that they charge and things of that nature, but, you know, it's could be worse. It could be, you know, could be 99, could be 95 through 97. At least there's going to be something out there. Whether something is better than nothing is up to the eye of the beholder, I guess. I don't know. I just don't know. I really hope we get something, but I don't have a real good feeling about it.
There's one more thing I want to talk about, but I don't know where to talk about it at. Right. Yesterday, Justin put up on General's Joe's that Cobra launcher rock pit.
Yep.
Great new images surface of Cobra Hiss Launcher based on the Rise of Cobra pit mold have surfaced.
All right. Where'd you get them, and why don't we have this?
The only reason I can think why we don't have this is just because it probably would have been even more expensive than the regular pit itself was. I think the this was shown in at JoeCon. It was a couple of years ago. I want to say 2011. No, yeah, maybe 2011. It was one of the conventions that I unfortunately wasn't able to make it to. But they put it, Hasbro put it up on a slideshow. And basically said, you know, this is some variations of the Rise of Cobra pit mobile vehicle that we wanted to do. And here's one that they call it kind of a Hiss launcher, which carries a couple Hiss tanks as some missile launchers, this great ICBM that kind of rises out of it. The pictures, and they showed like blurry slideshow photographs that people took cell phone pictures of, and they looked terrible, but you could kind of tell that it was pretty cool looking. But so then a guy named Brian over on the G.I. Joe Discussion Facebook group stumbled across this online gallery. Where I can only think that it must have been the guy who designed it or something, or a guy who used to work for Hasbro. It's just, it's a guy named Mason Fisk, and it's just a press picture of this, you know, Cobra Pit. It's a Hasbro Cobra Pit concept. And basically what it is, it's the Pit Mobile playset, and then it's got a bunch of different, it's got like some Sigma 6 Dragonhawk turbines and treads and True Heroes rocket launcher parts and just all this weird stuff kind of cobbled together into this big sculpted mock-up of a Cobra version of the Rise of Cobra Pit. And it just looks really awesome. It fits a couple hisses on the top, has these crazy rocket launchers. But with all this new tooling and kind of all this added functionality, it probably would have been even more expensive than the regular pit was. And considering the regular pit, you know, retailed for $99.99 and then quickly, you know, went to deep discount as well, the confidence Hasbro might have had in this product just wasn't there, and it never went out to retail. But it's a pretty cool looking product, I think. But of course, I like the pit too. I know a lot of fans aren't crazy about it, and I think if you consider it like the ultimate G.I. Joe headquarters, it's give or take, but that's kind of a mobile command center. I think it's pretty darn cool, and this would have been pretty cool too.
Agreed, 100%.
Yeah, I think it was Zombie Guide who called the original pit the ping pong table tank.
Yeah.
And I can totally see. I mean, Rise of Cobra, Wave 1, 2, those were ordered in such large abundance. They took up whole toy aisles. And yep. Then we saw by the tail end of that line, they were done. Nobody wanted Rise of Cobra anymore. So depending on the timing and, of course, the cost of new tooling and stuff, yeah. It's a shame because it's a really interesting piece.
I traveled down to Massachusetts, and I think I was in – I wasn't in Hooksett. I was just north of – I think it was Hadley, Mass. Right around the time that the figures first started, you know, being put on retail shelves. And I went to a Walmart in Hadley, Mass., and walked to the toy aisle, and Rise of Cobra, no lie, took up 16 feet of their toy. I had never seen anything like that since the 80s. It was just green packages everywhere. And part of me was like, oh my God, this was awesome. And another part of me was like, oh my God, this is, there's like four different figures here and they take up 16 feet. This is a disaster. And unfortunately, it ended up being the latter, but it was just, it was amazing. And I think people sometimes lose sight of what a toy based on a mass market property used to drive from a retail perspective. It doesn't really anymore. It's like every toy out there is based on some movie, but that's what it used to be like. Because, you know, when this big movies were coming out, they just flooded the aisles with toys, and then Rise of Cobra happened and Iron Man 2 happened, and that stuff doesn't happen anymore.
I still had one question for Justin. It'd be way out of order, though, even to bring it back a little bit to the customizing part.
You're out of order!
I think he hears that a lot.
The group is out of order.
anyway, back onto the customs part, and you know, I'm still in awe of some of the sets that you built for Darkness Falls. And you mentioned that when you did the big control room, you talked about the investment of dollars, the investment of time, and whatever else. I guess I'm my opinion as I'm looking at it is, well, yeah, that was totally worth it. I'm curious from your point of view, since you kind of had a limited use in mind, do you view that investment as being worth it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I totally view it as being worth it. I mean, it costs some money to build it. The level of satisfaction I had when it was done, I've never been really proud of the sets that I've built. I've always kind of – I took them on the cheap. I would print out textures on my printer and just glue stick them onto foam core and be like, yeah, it's good enough, whatever. But actually, you know, taking this thing from the ground up and texturizing it and, you know, gluing it and painting it and painting it again and painting it again and – you know, buying Cobra t-shirts and just doing all this crazy stuff to kind of put it together. I had a great, immense feeling of satisfaction afterwards. And I think the story ends up all the better for the quality of the set that's underneath. So I think, yeah, in the long run, it certainly was worth the investment. Yeah, I have no qualms at all about spending a couple $100 to build this thing. It kept me entertained for a long time, and it really helped the story, I think, in a positive light. So, yeah, it was absolutely worth it to me.
I think it helped the story immensely, but then on its own, it's one of the more impressive custom pieces that I saw submitted to the gallery all year, and took note of it again when going through the JCA ballot. So
cool, thank you. Thank you. I mean, in the perfect world, I would have a huge place where I could put this permanently and use it as some kind of display. My office is not that way, so I'm kind of struggling with what to do with it right now. It's just kind of in the middle of my floor, taking up about, you know, a quarter of my floor space. So I'm really struggling with kind of how to best handle the thing. I love it. I would love to find a place permanently where I could put it. I just don't know if that place exists right now and what else I might do with it if I don't find that place.
Just put it on top of a flag and put a pterodrome on top of it and the ultimate playset right there.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I don't even have a place for my flag in here. My little basement office conceptually was amazing, and unfortunately the execution didn't end up quite so amazing. Like I had it all sketched out, gave it to the builder, said this is what I want. I said, oh yeah, great, that's perfect. You know, I come in here and I see the walls kind of shaped in. I'm like, what's going on here? He's like, oh, yeah, well, this room is where the water tank is going and the air filtration system. So it ended up like about 12 square feet of my perfect toy room ended up just unusable because I had to wall it off to put a water system in. And then I had another probably about 8 square feet that had to be walled off for an air filtration system that's now basically a closet. So it didn't end up quite as perfect as I wanted. I have nothing to complain about. It's still a great big space that I can display a lot of my stuff in, and I'm very happy with it. But, you know, I had some grander schemes in mind, I guess, when I first was getting the house built.
I just like how sad you said when you said, I'm really thankful for it.
Hey, it's a hell of a lot better than I used to have. I will say that.
All right, when we come back from commercial, we'll take you through the segments if you still have time with us.
Sure.
Do you find yourself jumping from half-finished custom to half-finished custom? Do you have a workbench full of works in progress, yet you still keep building more? If you do, you may suffer from customizing attention deficit disorder. If so, the Joe Customs Podcast can help. Our highly trained customizers can help get you back on track by sharing their expertise and techniques so you can get some customs completed.
That is, if they ever get any of their own customs finished. That's right, the JoeCustoms.com podcast crew suffer from CADD just like you do. So who would be better to help you than others who know your struggle? Taken once monthly, the JoeCustoms.com podcast can help reduce procrastination and result in a higher percentage of completed customs. Side effects may include the purchasing of additional fodder, multicolored paint stains on clothing and furniture, exacto wounds, and an unhappy spouse due to excessive hours spent in your man caves. Ask your doctor if the Joe Customs podcast is right for you.
I'm Dr. Bindi, and I approve this message.
All right, so one of the things we want to talk about was Joe Customs Awards, the final round of voting that's going to be through the Google Docs like we did last year. And then after we get the results, we'll be back on recording the Joe Customs Award podcast. Yay! So where are you guys with your nominations? Have you guys all started?
Yeah.
Yes. Started and finished.
I started making my list, but I haven't actually submitted it yet. Because there, like you said, there's a lot to look for this year.
I think I've banged out about five of the categories completely and still have a lot more to go. But I've plugged in some here and there. I wanted to make sure that I got through. But yeah, there's a lot of custom work to look at.
Yeah, I'm going through the smallest categories first and then working my way to the heavier ones.
You know, I used to do that too, but there's so many of them out there. I decided to just go through every single custom. And every time something caught my eye, I would copy and paste it because I like put the form off-site like on a Evernote. And every time I saw a custom that I liked for any category, I would copy it and paste it into that category so that I didn't have to go back through the list of, you know, 3,000 figures or whatever it was more than once. And I found that was a lot more efficient this year for me. On a normal year, you don't need to do that, though.
I start with, like, the NJC and the group projects because they have the actual link involved, and I try to do those. And as I'm doing those, I realize, you know, that's just a good custom. You know, that's not just a good group project custom. That's actually a good O-ring, or that's a good female custom, or just a good Joe or Cobra. And I start plugging them in that way so I don't forget about them later. And then I'll do like some of the, you know, the Joe Colton Awards, or, you know, most helpful member, the member one specifically, technique people, plug those in as I'm going too. And then, but yeah, the Joe and Cobra one I usually save for last, just because I want to make sure, especially this year, and go through our podcast notes and see who is in outstanding and where I think they match up. But man, it's a lot of customs.
So this year, it's a really daunting task. There are so many good things that were put in from the whole blue laser, red laser competition. And just the sheer numbers, it's a lot to go through.
Jeff, did you have anything you wanted to add?
I'm done with the top part. I kind of divide them into the top part and the bottom part, and I'm done with the top part.
Which is your email and screen name?
So I'll be turning that in tomorrow. By the way, I voted for myself in every category.
I do if I think it's really good work. If I think it's like it deserves to be there. There's been a couple of times where, like, well, I know nobody else is going to nominate me in this category. I might as well do it myself. And by the time I'm done, it's out. There's just too many other customs that are just better than mine. So, and that's the tough one. It's like, that I do that. You know, you hear about it with the Oscars or somebody where, like, they lost out for Best Picture, but they won for Best Director. And there's a lot of stuff where I do that. It's like, oh, this one is really good, but it's not enough to make the cut in the Joe category. You know, does it have any engineering or sculpting? Is it a female? Can I fit it in any other category? Because it's such a really good custom. And I do try to do that kind of stuff, but not my stuff.
Yeah, I didn't put a single thing in the gallery this year. I was just lazy. I had so many things I could have put, and I didn't. Next year.
Are you waiting for the purple laser challenge? Spectre taking on all comers?
Well, actually, I was going to do them anyway once the JCAs were over. I was going to start putting in, because I had a lot of things that I honestly wanted to put in last year, but like I said, I was too lazy to do it. But then I liked that idea that that Dennis came up with.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah, what was your idea?
Well, if I remember hearing correctly on an earlier episode, Dan was basically saying, if I heard correctly, there's something along the lines of thousands of customs that he has that with a little bit of tweaking to the backstory, could be submitted to the gallery. And I got to thinking that it would be really cool to see all of those in the gallery. And, you know, all of the red lasers and blue lasers from this year are pretty much wiped out from their stash of customs. Let's do something where we get a little bit of incentive for Dan to get everything in and have the red lasers and blue lasers recruit the whole Joe Custom site to form for 1 year the purple lasers to go against this new aiding entity known as the Spectre.
Actually sounds kind of fun. I'd be up for it. Got to figure out how I can devote all the time to formatting everything for the gallery.
Yeah, quit your job first because that's probably a pretty important part for making up the time.
Stop customizing, start entering.
Reduce my 2015 output to zero so I can put in all the others.
he's not lying when he says that, I tell you. It was a chore, but getting them in was nice. I guess the other reason that I was thinking that, and after getting a little pushback from some people about continuing just the straight up red laser, blue laser, is, you know, this would be a more of a low-key, lower, you know, intensity type of thing, just to keep action going, just to give people a reason to be motivated maybe more than usual to get stuff into the gallery. And then, like I said, really, in some respects, to be a showcase, Dan, for your stuff, you know, assuming that you thought you'd have the time to make it worthwhile.
Like I said, I think I can do it if I even just pound out, you know, maybe like 50 each weekend or whatever. The biggest part is going to be changing the backstory to fit the Joe versus Cobra story.
And I gave you that idea already.
Mm-hmm. That you did. Since most of my customs are science fiction oriented, it's going to revolve around the Lunatic's Empire and recruiting new help to help them take over the Earth. So you get to see all the Daleks and all the various aliens and everything else. So it's going to be fun.
The other part was, you know, because you do have the version of, I don't know how you pronounce it, but the version of Joe Colton in your yep. verse, you could have from the files, you know, the private files of Joe Colton.
Yep.
And then that's, insert what you already have written up.
That works. That's actually probably even a lot easier.
I think it's a ton easier, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm up for it. At the moment, I am sans computer. I'm still doing all my online stuff on my phone. But within the next 2 weeks, I will have a brand new computer, so I'll be able to do it a lot easier than trying to have my giant fat fingers work on my little phone.
Jeff, did you feel like by the end of that submission process that you were just completely blown in smoke on those bios? Because I sure did.
Actually, what I did is I tapped into my secret reserve, also known as Kill Car.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, I was like, Billy, this is what it is. This is what he does. This is what he looks like. Can you fit this? So, but I did try to say that in my bio. If it was one that Kill Car helped me with, I made sure to note that.
Okay.
Everything's fair game, right? Like playsets, vehicles, diorama accessories, things like that.
As long as they meet the gallery rules.
Yeah. All right. So, Spectre, when you say, okay, does that mean that you're up for this? Because if you're up for this, I'm going to start pushing it.
I think I'm up for it. Like I said, I won't be able to even start on it until I get my new computer. So it'll be probably after Toy Fair.
But I also heard you say 50 per weekend.
I will knock out as many as I can, especially if I can just copy and paste the existing bios I have and just add them to the files of Joe Colton. It should be a lot easier.
Dude, some of the stuff I submitted at the end was embarrassing. Like, the way I got it into the Joe connection. So, seriously, that's a higher quality tie-in than half of what I put in at the end.
Not recommended by JoeCustoms.com.
Well, no, but because my stuff is similar to yours in a lot of ways because I'm, you know, I was shocked at how many customs I've made that don't have a single Joe part in them. And a lot of what I've been doing lately was for my own science fiction stuff rather than, you know, whenever it was in my X-Cal or the real world type setting, that was easy. I could just, you know, link it up to an existing character. But the other ones, I had to really try hard to say, now, how in the heck am I going to get this tied up? And like I said, I was, you know, rolling my own eyes at myself on some of those submissions. So I know whoever approved them was doing the same.
We had to bring in more staff. That's what it was. I mean, I know I won't partake, but it really did motivate me. I was looking for the NJC. I did the Penguin figure, and I was looking for, from an older NJC, I was looking for some of the Penguins that I'd made to go along with it. And I was going through, and I realized I have a lot of customs that didn't fit the gallery at the time. And really, it's just because I wasn't creative enough in trying to, like, some of them actually have Joe parts, but they weren't Joe characters, so I didn't really think they fit. And I have quite a stockpile of old stuff I just never submitted.
Well, virtually all the stuff I've done has some degree of even, like, a tiny Joe piece in it. Like, you remember that Angel of Death statue I did to go in my dungeon?
Yeah.
It was the Grim Reaper with the sickle arm and the wings. His sickle arm is made out of two of Zartan's blades from the Rise of Cobra figure. So there, it fits. It's got Joe parts in it.
Yeah, and then you don't even have to monkey with the bio at all.
Yeah, and also the face was from, what's his name? The Shadow Tracker.
Without the mask?
Yeah, I pulled the mask off and stuck the head inside the hood. So I mean, it does have Joe parts, even though the wings were from Nemesis Immortal. But everything's got at least a little tiny piece of Joe stuff in it. My dungeon has two swords from Montezuma's skeleton in it.
Okay, so all you're doing is really bolstering our argument and degrading your own argument for not having these in the gallery already.
Well, I told you, last year it was strictly like laziness. And my dungeon is in the gallery. Actually, I think it won for best playset last year.
Well, let's chill with the bragging.
It's in there.
If anyone is going to brag on this podcast, it's going to be me. It's what I'm known for.
Yeah, I'm up for it. Like I said, once I get my computer, I'll start pounding out the actual submissions. We'll get it going. It'll be fun.
So honestly, do it.
If I come out on top, it's still going to be fun.
Do it. Do an official shout out where you call on all Joe Customs to challenge you for the gallery submissions this year.
All right, Joe Customs, in 2015, I, the Spectre, challenge you to a customs off. We're going to see who can put in the most customs by the end of 2015. The combined red laser, blue laser team, or the Spectre? The gauntlet has been thrown.
Freaking awesome.
Wow.
And then, Jeff, you need to add something and maybe get a clip from Bucky at some point, too, to say, hey, blue lasers, we're uniting with the red lasers and looking for recruits, and just kind of do it as a way to let everybody on the site know that they are just inherently incorporated as part of the new team.
That would be cool. That would be a really good team-building thing, too, yeah.
Have your chance to go purple lightsabers.
Dennis, I think we need a diorama of the red lasers and blue lasers joining forces.
I think I can probably come up with something along those lines.
Pants optional.
Isn't that the way it always is around here?
What was that, Jeff?
I was talking to my wife.
Oh, I thought you said something creepy in the background.
Oh, no fans.
Yeah. John is internalized, Jeff.
No, I really... All right. Speaking of... Jeff, are you the only blue laser we had on there?
Hold on, let me check. TR-101. AL, weren't you a blue laser?
Yes, I was.
There we go.
How's your prisoner exchange coming?
He is finished. I got the address for my recipient, and it'll be sent out probably on Monday.
I took on three. One of them is for Brad, Beav. He's unable to complete it, and I knew that ahead of time. So somebody's going to be getting one of his customs that he donated to the Joe Customs table. But I also did two customs for two different people, and I'm finishing those up tonight, actually. So those are coming along, and hopefully they'll go out the week of custom celebration.
I couldn't think of something to make for Bucky, so I'm making three.
Aw.
I know, right? That's nothing he would do for me.
Outstanding customs.
Best of the best of the best, sir. With honor.
I gave it a 10. Woo!
Justin, have you seen any customs anywhere that really impressed you last month or so?
I will say only because it was something that I saw. Well, first of all, I know over on the Facebook group, I haven't been spending a ton of time on the forums. I'm cruising mostly the Facebook group. I will say something that jumped out at me was a custom by Hypno Hustler, his Air Commando's Air Devil custom. I think I saw that. I don't know if it was in the Joe Customs Critique group on Facebook. I think he's got a Joe Customs gallery too. I was blown away by that thing. It doesn't have a whole lot of new parts,
but the paint is just really great. He did some kind of group shot with it with his little swing wing jetpack. I just thought that was really, really outstanding. I was incredibly happy with it, and I'm totally nuts about the Air Commandos anyway. So I think that's one of those untapped resources that the club should get into, is give us some Night Vulture and Air Devil and Sky Creeper action. That would be pretty cool. Yes. So yeah, I really love that. I did see just today, actually, we mentioned Vanishing Point a little bit earlier. I think he did a hit and run custom. You know, surprise, surprise! I saw a hit and run custom that I liked, but it was really cool. He used some parts from, it was Sigma 6 custom, of course. It's Vanishing Point, but he did, you know, just a basic vintage themed hit and run, and he posted it on Facebook, I believe, and just did a really, really good job with the face paint and little cross web gear, and it just looked really cool. Those are the two that kind of jump out at me. I haven't been watching customs a whole lot lately, but I'm totally blown away by all the stuff that people do. It's just
on Vanishing Point's hit and run. Do you know where he got that little pulley hook system?
I think it's what came with the Sigma 6 Flint. Oh, the thing on his right arm?
Yeah.
Oh, what is that? It's a Sigma 6 accessory. I know.
Oh, good. If you're stumped, I don't feel so bad.
It's some kind of, it's customized. Like, it's not, it doesn't come like that. He changed it in some way. Parts from some Kamakura wrist-mounted, like, grappling hook type of thing. But I think he's changed it. It didn't come out of the box looking like it looks on that custom. He messed with it.
Okay.
I'm not sure exactly what the pieces are from, though.
Was that it? I kind of interrupted you.
No, that's fine. I mean, those are the two that really jump out, only because I've been horrible and haven't been keeping a close tab on all the different customs that are being pushed out there these days. I just know that from my experience doing these Sigma 6 customs, I don't have enough respect for people who spend so much time doing this all the time. You know, I focused on it for a month, and I was kind of spent afterwards, but these people who keep on doing this, it's really, really impressive. I've been seeing some really awesome stuff from Brian Kaufman Nova, who's been posting some stuff on Facebook, and he just posted one. It was like a build using the head sculpt and torso sculpt for the classic Storm Shadow that I think Live Evil sculpted, and he's like building a figure around that, and I think that looks really, really amazing, and he does fantastic casting work, and everybody should check him out on Facebook too.
And check him out at JoeCon.
JoeCon, absolutely, that too.
The thing I saw this week that I really enjoyed the most, I gotta say, was Dennis's Fourth Doctor and Amy Pond. I think he did a great job using Joe parts to create these science fiction characters, and they're just beautiful. They really are.
That scarf turned out amazing, man.
Yeah, yeah, thank you. Really nicely done.
I wasn't sure myself when I put the first version of it up, and it's one of those things, as you're painting it, you don't really appreciate just how sloppy your first coat is, and then the picture's like, oh man, I shouldn't have posted that yet. But it drove me to do a more thorough job when I posted it.
I'll go ahead and jump in on here. And as much as I liked your Fourth Doctor and Amy Pond, I enjoyed your Mark Twain. That was kind of out of the box. I wasn't expecting that at all. Very nice job.
Nor was I.
Somebody had mentioned in the thread about the Mark Twain and the Star Trek Next Generation. And I was like, yeah, that's perfect for Doctor Who.
That was me.
Was it you?
Yeah.
Good call out.
I can jump in with one I was looking at recently. The Cobra Night Witches by A Dream Deferred. And you guys can help me out if that's based on anything other than just a concept he came up with. But it looks really funky and crazy and unique to me. But just the overall design. And I guess I still don't even understand exactly what all it is. There's a monkey. But it looks pretty cool.
I mean, the closest that G.I. Joe has existing are the skank vipers from Tanks for the Memories. And it's not that. There was no monkey. So I think it's kind of his own thing.
Yeah, he always comes out of the box with stuff. And you don't expect it. And it's on that weird Tuesday, you know, in February or somewhere. I'm not going to lie, but A Dream Deferred is right up there with IW Beta, Spin Doctor, Dennis, all you guys. I mean, he's one of my favorite customizers on the site. So whenever he puts something up, I'm always happy. And you got to give him a little bit of love just for that. That's like a fist bump right there.
I used to live like 20 minutes from him, and I kept peeing and, hey man, let's get together, let's go on a toy hunt, and never got anything.
It's not him, it's you.
Probably.
Let's see. TR-1er's exoskeleton for Roadblock, where he used the battle droid parts. I just thought that was really cool. You know, he kind of took the Mirage look, but actually put it on a modern figure. And just using the limbs from the Star Wars battle droid, it just worked so perfectly, especially when he showed the picture that he was basing it off of. I just thought that was just a brilliant use of parts.
That was a great custom, except for one thing. It really didn't look like the exoskeleton attached to the limbs very well, like to the arms and legs of Roadblock. It seems like they were almost just kind of floating on top. That was my only critique of that, but excellent idea. Like, very, very cool idea.
Yeah. Yeah, but don't you think that would have been so much cooler like that in Rise of Cobra than the accelerator suits?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
See, Hypno Hustler did this Baron Ironblood, and just the mask on that. To find out that it was totally scratch-built, I thought that was insane. Iron Will did an Iron Fist, but based on his modern black and yellow look. Nothing major there, but just a good use of parts and just a clean-looking custom. He's just been knocking out, you know, factory-looking figures the past couple of years, and I just love his work lately. And then Spin Doctor's Wonder Woman. I thought it was fantastic. Dennis, what'd you think?
Loved it. It really is a... If you're into the muscular look for that figure, it's outstanding.
Yeah, there were a couple of times where I was like, you know, reading his parts descriptions or reading what he used. Like, he did layered tape for a lot of the armor bits, and I'm reading that. But like right below that, my peripheral seeing the next picture, and there were a couple of times where I could have sworn it was like a poster, a Linda Carter, or, you know, one of those models where they Photoshop like a costume over him. I could have sworn it was just based out of the peripheral. And then you scroll down and see, oh no, that's just another pose shot that he's done. And it was just an incredible looking figure.
Well, and let me say this, the use of the plastic tape is about as flawless as you could ever do with that. I mean, he cut those stars out with white plastic tape by hand, and they look like they are decals or production stickers. You may not think, oh, that's a big deal, but when you get a star at that size and look at cutting out the clean lines and not ruining the dang thing, that was the most impressive part to me when I realized all of that was plastic tape. And really, I didn't even think a single questionable thought of it at all until he told me that he used the Namor legs or thighs or whatever on it. And now I have to admit, I can't go back and chuckle at myself. I can't go back and look at it now without imagining that I'm seeing hair on her legs. Because it is very muscular. I mean, it fits the character, but I'm more distracted by that than I was before I knew what the parts were.
Hair or scales?
That's all I had. Jeff, did you have any?
Honestly, I can't add anything to this. I've been working on my JCA ballot, so therefore I've looked at somewhere in the neighborhood of 2,000 customs in the last 4 days.
Well, then, let's get to that. Let's workbench. What customs have you been working on? The customizing workbench. Workbench.
You want me to go first?
Yes.
I've been working on Bucky's prisoner exchange customs. So I know we're only supposed to give one to the other guy, but since I was the blue loser leader, I figured at the very least I should give him something to choose from, because he said if I couldn't come up with something, he wanted to take my Cobalt that I modeled after, you know, Dan of the Dead's Cobalt, and I really liked that one. So I figured I better make something. So I started on one, and then I didn't like it, so I started on another, and then I didn't like that, so I started on a third. So now I'm going to finish all three, show him, let him pick his favorite, and then not give him that one, but give him the other one.
The loser.
I got one more Hunter I'm trying to finish up, too. Although it was supposed to go with my group before the end of the year, it just didn't happen. And I'm working on a set to take to the JoeCon down in Springfield. See you there.
Dennis, what are you working on?
Right now, I'm actually painting the X-Gal version of Lance Sputnik. One of the things that happened at the end with all those bio or gallery submissions, I started to just throw in random jabs at Sputnik after I'd seen he made a figure, I don't even know what he called it, Law Dog or something, and basically called it, tailored it off of me and referred to him as a douche in his bio. And I said, all right, I see how it is. So I started putting some digs in it at Sputters. And he and I have been chatting since then. I think now we're each going to write the other character into our own verse and make a figure to go with it. So I'm working on that. And the other thing, did you guys catch when I posted some of those Safari tube finds on the site? Where they had like the presidential heads and a lot of the different Wonders of the World sets and things like that. The heads are all too big for this scale, and I'm putting out some feelers to see if I can get somebody who wants to do the shrink on them. But in the meantime, one of the buildings or whatever else that I was able to find in that set was the Mount Rushmore. And the Mount Rushmore, the heads on it are actually 1/18 scale. So I have decided, since I didn't have any use for that otherwise, that I've been carving out over the last day or so the faces from a small Mount Rushmore to see how many of those I can turn into actual action figure heads. And I'm working on that right now as we speak, too.
Hey, Bindy, remember when you were a nerd?
Okay.
Yeah. Dan, speaking of statues, what have you been working on?
Well, I've been working on a couple different projects at once, but since I was using the same colors for all of them, I decided to do them all together. What I'm doing is a series of statues that range in size from about 1.5 inches up to a standard 3¾-inch size, and some a little tiny bit bigger. The statues are going to be spread across a couple different projects. Some of them are going to be fantasy diorama accessories for my dungeon. Some are going to be just random, like, adventure team type discoveries. And the largest project is going to revolve around the story I'm writing about an ancient world and the gods that saved it from a great evil. And when people see the statues of the gods, they're going to kind of be reminiscent of some characters that you may or may not be familiar with. And I'm using mostly cheaply articulated Green Lantern figures, Man of Steel figures, Chat May figures, anything where the articulation really isn't that great, but the sculpt is nice. So I'm using up some otherwise probably unusable fodder, and I figure why not make statues out of things that are only a couple points of articulations away from being statues to begin with. And I'm also working with some little tiny, years ago in the Star Wars line, there were these little holo figures that came with as pack-ins with the Saga 2 line. And I found a couple of Palpatines, and yeah, they get rid of the lightsaber. He kind of looks like a cultist or a warrior monk or something to that effect. So I turned them into warrior monks, and I have a little Obi-Wan Kenobi that I made into another warrior monk. And they're all just going to be decorative. They were painted black and then dry brushed with multiple shades of gray to really make it look like stone. Some of them will get some additional paint apps, some yellow, some green to simulate lichen and moss. And they're going to be standing atop pedestals, but I'm still in the process of gathering the parts for the pedestals, simply because Michaels didn't have the number I needed of the identical parts. So that's pretty much it right now.
You reminded me, there was a person on Imperial Shipyards who'd used old Timex watches and put those little hologram figures on it. And he'd paint it, you know, dry brushed it and all that stuff and put some kibble on it. And when he pushed the Timex watch and it had that night glow on it, and it made the little hologram figures light up. I thought that was just brilliant.
I saw those. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I've been trying to find my old watches to do some of those with.
I've seen some of the previews of what Dan's working on. And you know, Dan, your work when it comes to painting that stone effect is just phenomenal.
Yeah.
But I also wanted to add, P-Love, if you don't take that sound clip that Dan laid down and lead in at some point with him saying, well, next one I'm working on to put in my dungeon, you failed.
Noted.
I also have another project. It hasn't officially started yet, but I'm going to announce it right now for you guys. I've been buying up every single clearance Assault Dalek that I can find at the Walgreens. And what I'm doing is, since the modern Daleks are all pretty much monochromatic, they're all basically bronze with, you know, little gold accents, I'm going to paint all of these Asylum Daleks in the colors of the original series Daleks, in all their multicolored glory. So you'll see red ones with silver accents, you'll see red ones with gold accents and black accents and blue ones and the dark gray and black, like the Genesis Daleks. You're going to see every color, as far as I can, that appeared in the original show is going to be made with these Asylum Daleks. The only problem is I need to gather more because I only have 8, and I've identified 17 color schemes that I need to do.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's 17 that the Purple Lasers have to take on.
To begin with, yes.
Go Purple Lasers.
Yeah.
Also likely to be called Plusers.
Wow.
I'm going to go back to mute now.
Brad?
Yeah, I picked up one of the Winter Soldier Red Skulls to make a Star-Lord, you know, and kind of in the vein that you and Dennis did, and it worked out pretty good, and then I got the Mini-Mate set to have the headphones and the helmet and everything, and I just couldn't get the helmet to work, so I used the Instamold. My kids had gotten the Disney Infinities 2.0 set for Christmas, and they got the Star-Lord. I'm like, well, I'll try it and see how it works. So I used the Instamold, made the mask for the Star-Lord, and put it on a Rise of Cobra, Cobra Commander, minus the clear face mask, and it turned out pretty good.
Probably could have won at Assembly Required. Oh, sorry, John.
Justin?
I'm not working on anything. All I can think of right now is just how depressing it is that you actually have to make customs of Star-Lord instead of just buying a 3/4 one on the shelf. That's just a damn shame.
Agreed.
Well, your customs probably come out better than that would anyway. But no, I'm not working on anything actively custom-wise. I'm reviews, bracing myself for the next round of figure subscription service stuff, but that's about it.
Robert Atkins had shown a picture that he'd done of the Agent Grayson, I guess in the new 52, Dick Grayson isn't Robin anymore. He's now this agent of Spiral. So he's more of this top secret agent kind of guy. And the parts were so simple. It was like a t-shirt and pants. And I was like, Killcar, Jeff, Matt, you guys need to get on this. This is a custom you guys can do. And in trying to show them this character that's right in their wheelhouse, and Dennis too, and how easy it would be, I talked myself into making that custom. So the problem is that as I was painting, I did a base coat of paint, but it was on the bottom of the can. So that all became sludge. Every time I tried to touch it, it just smeared on the figure. So I had to repaint everything, and then I don't know what happened to my gray paint, but that never dried. Like, it's that Vallejo paint, which has that really oily stuff in it, and I guess I didn't mix it well enough, so it never dried. It got really tacky. So this is the only custom I've ever had to paint entirely twice over, but that's the one that I just finished. And one of the other ones that I'm doing, Silent Master had requested as part of the challenge. He said, I want something with cast heads or, you know, this or that or a space monkey. It was like his last thing. I'm like, space monkey, that's something that could be fun. So I just finished that one too. What else? Oh, still trying to figure out how to do one of those gem mind menders. I want to do some hair, but I just haven't had the chance to sculpt it on there. Fodder. Jeff, what have you gotten in for fodder or to use for customizing?
Have we talked about that big IW beta box I got?
I don't think on the podcast. Maybe you mentioned it, but not exactly what was in it.
Okay, I'll just say this to all Joe Customs members. When IW beta says, I've got parts for sale, line up. Because it is worth every penny. That's it. I'm not going any deeper into that. By the way, I'm first in line. Also, I don't know. I'm sure everybody knows this, but Toys R Us now is like closing out all their retaliation. Well, pretty much all their Joes. So Hypno was out running around buying up a bunch of stuff, and I bought a bunch of stuff off him. and I think I might be set for fodder for the year based on what he just picked up.
Wow. For the That's year? In January?
At least until summertime. I'm not going to lie. This box from IW Beta, I mean, good God, I might never get through this. I'm not saying I'm old, but I'm probably halfway to dead.
On that happy note.
Well, just remember, I'm always willing to help you get through that fodder box.
That Toys R Us sale, I grabbed a Blind Master. I think with a coupon, it worked out to like $1.50 a figure. It was just crazy. I got good fodder out of it. The other thing, Dennis had pointed out some Storm Shadows from a Chinese seller. I think it was like 4 of them for like $10. Worth it just for the legs. And like I said, by the time I opened the envelope, that figure was already in use. So, yeah.
Sweet. Well, as I mentioned just before, I've been scouring every Walgreens I can find in the North Jersey area trying to locate more of those Asylum Daleks for the multicolor project I was talking about. But other than that, the only thing I've really gotten recently, I took a trip to Michael's. I actually just mentioned that before, too, with the for my statues. I grabbed a couple of those really cheap unfinished wood boxes. They're maybe about 2 inches across, little hinge, little clasps, so you can open them up and close them. They have a variety of different shapes, and the one that I found, and I'll send you a picture of it, John, so you can put it in the show notes. If you remove the clasps and you remove the hinges and glue it shut, it almost looks like something you would have seen a statue standing on in like ancient Greece or ancient Rome. It's very cool looking. I grabbed 3 of them, but I actually need 8, so I need to find 5 more, so I'm waiting for them to restock. But I also grabbed a couple of tiny little wooden plaques, maybe 5 inches across by about 2 inches wide, that are going to be the bases for some of the statues to stand on. And for a buck a piece, you got to sand them and paint them and everything, but they're very, very good basis for things to use. I used several of them last year to make the tables for my dungeon. Remember I made the treasury table and the wizard's table? That was all wood stuff from Michael's. And it was just painted up to look like it was stone. But that's about all I've done recently. Christmas, money's a little tight after Christmas, so I haven't been out running around buying tons of toys except for the Doctor Who figures. That's it. And with the increase in the price on Star Wars figures, I think I'm pretty much done with Star Wars. I'm not getting any more of that stuff.
Yeah. I forgot to mention, I picked up a Winter Soldier Red Skull at Five Below for $5. That was one of those figures, you know, with a long trench coat that I was looking at, but I couldn't justify it, even though I would totally want to copy General Hawk's Retaliation Cobra Commander. But for $5, I figured it was worth ripping them off for that.
Yeah, so I'm actually looking for one of those, too, because I myself wear a long black coat, so I figured it'd be nice to make a Spectre versus Spectre figure with. But I wasn't going to pay $10 for it. Now that I know it's at Five Below, I may go hit the Five Below down the block. The other thing, I was at Toys R Us, as you mentioned, the Joes are on clearance. I actually had a Blind Master in my hand. I wanted him for a sword, but at the same time, I was like, you know what? $4 just for a sword is not worth it, so I ended up putting it back. There's a lot of good stuff out there on clearance.
He's got sweet accessories. It's totally worth it.
Yeah, the only one I could use, though, was the sword with the rings on the back of it. That was it. Maybe they get down cheaper, you know, when they do one of those 70% off deals.
I can send that to you. That's totally yours.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that. I really do. One of my orcs will be carrying it, and I'm sure it appreciates it as well.
Well, my in-laws are in town, and my mother-in-law's a big antiquer, so we've hit quite a few flea markets, and I picked up a few Star Wars older figures for customs, and I'm in the process of working on them, and we got a couple of appliances for Christmas, so just like Dennis, I've been utilizing or stockpiling the cardboard and the corrugate that comes with it for some dio pieces in the future.
Oh my God, I want to jump right in here. I got a saw for Christmas, and one of the styrofoam inserts for the saw has this big round center right in the middle where the saw blade went. And as I'm pulling this big, I mean, it's probably 4 feet by 2 feet piece of styrofoam out of the box, I'm looking at it going, holy shit, Dennis would totally turn this into like a Roman Colosseum dial. And then I broke it into a bunch of little pieces and threw it in a trash bag, and I said, fuck you, Dennis.
Every time you guys talk about styrofoam, I remember Dennis talking about, the phone books are here! The phone books are here!
And yet people still think I hate papercraft.
I don't think that.
So what about you, Dennis?
Other than the stuff I mentioned before, I haven't really been out on the hunt much lately. So I'm mainly just trying to tear through the amounts of fodder I have here that I'll probably never actually have time to build in my life anyway. So nothing new.
All right. Well, parting shots then.
Wait, I don't think we've gone through it all, have we?
Yeah.
Do you get Dan to do a big ol' welcome to Joe Customs Celebration 9?
Okay. Dan?
Whenever you're ready.
It's on you. Action.
Welcome to JoeCustoms.com's Custom Celebration 9.
Yay!
Oh, dude, one take, dude. I can't believe every time it's one take with you.
That's why the directors love me doing the commercials.
Justin, anything else you want to talk about?
Anything you want to pimp?
No, I don't think so.
You want to talk about What's on Joe Mind or anything? Is What's on Joe Mind doing something at the con this year?
Well, I know Mike and Gary and myself are all planning on being there. I don't know if we're going to do any like live recording from the show. We try to do some of that stuff. We'll have to see. But I know we're kind of ramping up for our big 100th episode of What's on Joe Mind. That should be coming out within the next couple months or so. We've got a few different interviews we're working into it, and we're actually going to be talking to the guys from Fresh Monkey Fiction and Zika Toys about the new Eagle Force and Captain Action lines that should be hitting Kickstarter, hopefully, first part of this year. That's going to be part of the, hopefully, big 100th episode spectacular, so expect that coming up soon. And, a lot of exciting things. After a pretty slow last half of 2014, things are starting to ramp up now and get ready for movie news and stuff like that, so we are ready to roll.
Maybe it's time for an arm wrestling tournament.
There you go.
There you go.
All right. Stopping recording.
Once again, the world is a safe place to be, thanks to the G.I. Joe team of experts. G.I. Joe, a real American hero.
Some of them are going to be fantasy diorama accessories for my dungeon.
Jeff, what did you think about that?
Nope. Nice try.